Let's go to the US next, to Texas, to Uvalde, where the President and the First Lady have been meeting families of those shot dead at a primary school by a teenager last week. 18-year-old Salvador Ramos shot his grandmother and then opened fire on a classroom of fourth graders with the legally acquired AR-15-style assault rifle. The killer's hour-long rampage left 19 children and two teachers dead. Authorities have struggled to give a clear timeline of what happened, and now the US Department of Justice are going to investigate how police responded. Our Washington correspondent Sean Whelan is in Uvalde. He's been telling us first about the presidential visit.
Well, the visit was pretty low-key, as visits of presidents go, and intentionally so, I think. I think the message that the White House was trying to convey was just one of sympathy and trying to comfort the people who were afflicted by this terrible tragedy. I mean, obviously, the families, first and foremost, the families of the victims of that dreadful massacre, but also the police officers who were involved in the siege and the incident itself. They're, a lot of them, terribly traumatized, particularly because of the criticism of the way it was handled. Also, first responders, people who had to deal with wounded children and dead and dying children being brought in ambulances into the local hospital and further afield to San Antonio. So a lot of people just needed that kind of human touch. And a couple of the people we were speaking to were just impressed that the president would come to their town, a small town in southwest Texas that never sees big shot politicians, let alone the president of the United States, who arrived sweeping into town in the kind of huge cavalcade. It is a pretty large amount of vehicles sweeping down a road, preceded by motorbikes, helicopters around the place as well. Interestingly, though, I met one lady at the memorial in the middle of the town, and she had been, she wasn't from there at all, she was from Oregon, but had been an emergency department nurse back in 1998 when a shooting incident occurred at a high school there, Thurston High School. Four people killed, 25 injured by a 15-year-old boy in the school who was eventually overpowered by his fellow pupils. But she remembers it traumatically. I mean, it was bringing tears to her eyes recalling it. But she said Bill Clinton came to the town a couple of weeks after the shooting incident, and she said, I can't remember a word of what he said, but it was a healing thing. Just his presence there brought us all together and helped to heal the wounds there. So people are hoping that something like that might happen because the President of the United States has come to Uvalde.
The US Justice Department is going to conduct an independent review of police response to the shooting. What are they going to look into?
Well, they're saying that they're not going to be looking to try and scapegoat anybody or point any fingers at any individuals. However, lots of other people here are pointing fingers of blame, and particularly about how the command of the incident or the situation was handled. There was a commanding officer, as you would expect. There should be some one person who is in charge of an operation like this, to so that different police units and different police forces, indeed, don't get in each other's way and everybody acts in a coordinated fashion. So there needs to be a single commander. The single commander in this particular operation was the head of the Uvalde Schools District Police Department. That's a separate department of police whose sole job was to guard schools in the Uvalde area, 15,000 population in the Uvalde area. The police department for the schools consists of six police officers and a police chief. And it was that police chief who was in charge of all of the other policemen who arrived. So the city police force, which has its own SWAT team, special weapons and tactics, border patrol guards, because we're not too far from the border with Mexico, they have special units as well. All of these bigger police forces were under the command of a school's police officer, and it was he who made the decision not to go in and attack the gunman straight away. Various journalists have been pulling out the police manuals that were used, including in a training operation by this Uvalde schools police back in March. The standard operating procedure says if there's an active shooter in a situation like this, the phrase is go to the gun. You just go straight in and shoot the gunman. You don't stop for anything else. However, if it's a siege, a hostage type situation, then you employ different tactics and you wait it out and start a negotiation. The police chief in this case decided that it was not an active shooter situation, it was a hostage situation, and was holding back policemen from storming the room and shooting the gunman. And this persisted for well over an hour. There are now some reports starting to come out from citing anonymous sources within some of the specialist units of the border police, saying that eventually their officers had enough and decided to act themselves as a specialist unit to intervene and take out the gunman. But clearly there was a lot of unhappiness. There were earlier reports that the parents were screaming and shouting and pleading for an intervention to take place. There are reports of phone calls, 911 calls, emergency number calls from children inside the room with the gunman pleading for police to come in and do something. Three calls from one individual who apparently escaped alive from all of that carnage and madness. But there's an awful lot of unease about the way the whole thing was handled. And so it's been kicked right up the line to Washington, D.C., to the Department of Justice. And that's the agency that's going to investigate exactly what happened.
That's our correspondent, Sean Whelan, in Texas.